Individual variation exists in all species of plants and animals, and some naturally occurring individual birds do not fit into any male-female dichotomy. Going back as far as Aristotle, we've known that some individual birds, most noticeably among ducks and chickens, are intersex, a naturally occurring condition that sometimes happens to a bird with ZW chromosomes, that is, a female, if her only ovary stops functioning. As the hormones produced by the ovary dwindle or disappear, the hormones associated with her Z chromosome may cause her to molt into more male-like plumage, and her behavior may change as well. Some intersex mallards, chromosomally female, have been recorded mounting females, and some allow males to mount them, even though without a functional ovary, they cannot ovulate to produce eggs. Intersex ducks can be well integrated into mallard flocks, as was one I photographed in Ithaca, New York in 2009. Many of us at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology watched that individual over that entire winter, but we lost track when the flock dispersed during spring migration. Another interesting situation of gender identity in birds, one in which the pronoun they would be far more biologically accurate than either he or she, is that of gynandromorphism. Gynandromorphic birds are literally half and half, one side of the body with a functional ovary, the other with a functional testis. In bilateral gynandromorphism, the bird's body plumage appears male on one side and female on the other, and the wing cord measurements may also differ. Gynandromorphism would be essentially impossible for us humans to detect in the field in species without obvious sexual dimorphism because the sex organs themselves are internal. But the condition has been described in more than 40 bird species. The University of Minnesota's Bell Museum bird collection includes a handful of gynandromorphic evening grosbeaks. I have their photo on today's blog entry. In 1986, during the height of fall migration, I happened to see a gynandromorphic evening grosbeak within a big flock pigging out on the platform feeder attached to my dining room window. I watched the flock at very close range for a good 5 minutes. Sadly, this was before I was photographing birds. The gynandromorphic bird's left side appeared to be in perfect adult female plumage, and its right side almost perfect adult male, though on that side the tail was a little bit paler and the forehead not quite as black as on nearby adult males. Unfortunately, a hawk flew past and the birds all scattered in a flurry of wings. I never saw that one again. In the 5 minutes I did watch it, I saw that the gynandromorphic evening grosbeak was perfectly integrated into the flock, feeding close to the center, neither isolated nor pushed off to one side. Grosbeaks occasionally squabble to defend their personal space, but the gynandromorph wasn't involved in any more squabbles than the others. As far as I've ever seen, birds don't ostracize individuals based on those, quote, objective sex-based differences. That would undermine their civil society. Humans, of course, are different from birds. From what I've observed in my 73 years on this planet, bad and unfair treatment of women and of vulnerable youth and adults comes from those people who don't understand biological reality, don't recognize how important diversity is in ecological systems and within species, and don't understand that our acceptance of the many individual human beings sharing our schools, workplaces, neighborhoods, recreational facilities, and larger environments is fundamental in maintaining a civil society. Perhaps birds could show us the way. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.